Our scripture lesson today is from the book of Genesis, for selected verses from chapters 12 through 21. We're going to be covering a wide area today, and it's going to be a little different Bible verse today that was one of the Bible verses that were suggested as a favorite Bible verse. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward will be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward the heaven and count the stars if you can. Then the Lord said to him, So shall your descendants be. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bore him no children. She had an Egyptian slave girl whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, You see that the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go in to my slave girl. It may be that I will obtain children by her. Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her slave girl, and gave her to her husband as a wife. He went into Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, Hagar looked with contempt on her mistress. Then Sarai dealt harshly with her, and Hagar ran away from her. The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, slave girl of Sarai, where have you come from, and where are you going? She said, I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai. The angel of the Lord said to her, Return to your mistress and submit to her. The angel of the Lord also said to her, I will so greatly multiply your offspring that they cannot be counted for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, Now you have conceived and shall bear a son. You shall call him Ishmael, for the Lord has given heed to your affliction. He shall be a wild ass of a man, with a hand against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he shall live at odds with his kin. Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram named his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. The stranger said to Abram, Where is your wife Sarah? And Abram said, There in the tent. Then one of the strangers said, I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son. The Lord dealt with Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoke to him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son, whom Sarah bore him. Abram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah saw the son of Hagar playing with her son Isaac, and she said to Abraham, Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit along with my son Isaac. The matter was very distressing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, Do not be distressed because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you to do, for it is through Isaac that offspring shall be named for you. As for the son of the slave woman, I will make a nation of him also, because he is your offspring. God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother got a wife for him for the land of Egypt. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God. Our story this time was probably an unusual one. I don't know if it was somebody's favorite, or if it was one that somebody was really interested in and wanted to have further clarification on it. Because what the suggestion was what happened to the bloodline of Ishmael, and what about God's promise to Ishmael's mother, Hagar? As somebody said this week when I talked to him, this means our story is going to get extra biblical. You've just heard a wide part of the story. Abram at that point, I don't know if you picked up on the change within the scripture. We went from Abram and Abraham to Sarai and Sarah, because there was a lot that happened in between there where God made a covenant with Abraham and said, your name will now be Abraham, and all of you and your offspring, all your male offspring will be circumcised, and you will be my people. And that's when the name changed. But the story began with God saying to Abram, that you will have many offspring, more than you can count in the sky of the stars. And yet for many years after that, 10, Abram and Sarai still did not have any children. And Sarai despaired. She knew what God's promise was, but she began to not trust. And so she decided to take things into her own hands. She took her slave girl, an Egyptian, not even Jewish, but an Egyptian slave, and gave her to Abram to be his wife. Now, polygamy in that day was allowed. It wasn't something that was illegal. That was a fairly common practice in that day. So for that to happen, for him to take a second wife to have a child, was not an unusual thing. And when Abram took her as a wife, she conceived. Well, Hagar got angry because she was a slave girl, but she didn't really want to be bearing somebody else's child. She wanted that chance to maybe later on have her own husband, but that wasn't to be the case. And when you're a slave, you don't have a lot of choices in that. But because she kind of held it against Sarai, Sarai got angry and started to mistreat her. So she ran away. She didn't want to deal with it. Hagar ran from the camp and went out on her own with really no plans where to go, but she decided to do that anyway. But an angel intervened. Throughout this story, God in the form of angels will be communicating with people and telling them just what they should do and what they should expect. Sometimes they listened, sometimes they didn't. But in this case, the angel said to Hagar, you need to go back. You need to listen to Sarai. You're a slave, and you're carrying an important child. So she did. And a child was born, Ishmael. And Abraham was excited because he thought that everything he had was going to go to a slave. Now you can imagine what that must have felt like, that his only heir was a slave. So he was excited about this son. He was sorry it wasn't Sarai's, but Sarai was very angry that she did not have a child, that now Abram had this special connection with a slave girl that she couldn't have because she didn't have a child. And so she kind of shunned this child, but Abraham didn't. He took active part in raising this child and raised him fully as his son. But 13 years later, after a lot had happened, and I encourage you to go read those 5-6 verses of Genesis, because there's a whole lot that happens in there that's outside of the story of Hagar and Ishmael and Abram and Sarah and Sarai and finally Isaac. So finally, 13 years later, lo and behold, Abraham was 86 when Ishmael was born. When he was 99 was when God made the covenant that required the circumcision, and that when he was once again promised that you would have another child with Sarah, your first wife, the one that you really consider your wife. And Abraham laughed, and when Sarah heard, she laughed. But lo and behold, at the age of 100, and Sarah was 90, another child was born, Isaac. I heard some up here like, yeah, at 100 or 90, I want to have a child. But they did. But what happened then was, because now Sarah had a child, suddenly this child that had been important to Abraham for 13 years, Sarah didn't want to be a part of the picture. She wanted Isaac to be the only heir She wanted that child gone, and so she complained to Abraham. And Abraham sent Hagar and Ishmael away, out into the desert. Now, if any of you have been in the desert, you know what it's like in the desert. It's very hot, it's very dry, but the two of them were sent away. And Hagar and Ishmael were about to die of thirst, of starvation, but an angel came, and he gave water to them and said, "Hagar, do not worry about your son, because from this son there are going to be a multitude of people." Just as he had promised Abraham that Abraham would have many descendants, more than the stars, he made that same promise to Hagar. He said, "Hagar, Ishmael will have 12 princes for children, and many people will come from him." And from there they went to what's called the wilderness of Paran, which is in the Sinai, south of Canaan, which is where Abraham and his people were at that point of Canaan. And there they lived, and he prospered. Now, part of the promise that the angel made to Hagar also was that Ishmael would prosper, that he'd have many descendants, but he would be at odds with his kin, which we saw when Abraham just denied him. And you know, as I thought about this more and more, Abraham and Sarah just denied Hagar and Ishmael. This was Abraham's son, and he was willing to send him away to risk that he would die. You know, we look at Abraham as being our descendant, as being a father of who we are, and yet you look at this man who was not perfect, who was willing to send his child away. And to me, that's sad, but it's also a good promise for us. God continued to bless Abraham in spite of his frailties, just as God can look at us in spite of our frailties and our mistakes and our weaknesses and bless us. But the story, when you heard in the scripture, Ishmael was in the wilderness of Paran, and he grew up there. He learned to be a marksman. Eventually he got married to an Egyptian. So Ishmael was half Egyptian and half Israelite to begin with, and now he married an Egyptian. And they settled there in that whole Sinai Peninsula, and they grew. That's where Scripture ends. That's the last we hear of Ishmael in Scripture. But the story continues. And actually, the story doesn't continue. The story continues about 2,500 years later. When a man named Muhammad was born in Mecca. And Muhammad was part of an important tribe, but he was also a learned man, and he began to get visions. And over the course of 23 years, his visions became what the Muslims have come to consider the Quran. And as he had visions, because Muhammad was a descendant, actually, of Ishmael. So now the Muslims, some 2,500 years later, track themselves back to Ishmael and to Abraham. I can remember thinking that Islam was a strange religion. It was one of those Eastern religions. I actually, for many years, thought they were polytheistic. And it was a real eye-opener to me when I began to learn that this religion that for so many of us is a scary thing, that we don't understand, was actually a branch of us. And if you read the Quran, they talk about Jesus, they talk about Moses, they talk about Abraham. They consider Muhammad their the last prophet, but they consider Jesus a prophet. So they're very much akin to us. But like so many religions, they have people that have taken their religion and made it a radical thing which is what makes it scary. Let me tell you, Islam has five pillars that came from Muhammad, that lineage of Ishmael. The five pillars are, there is no God but God. They refer to God as Allah, but that's because that's the Arabic word for God, and over there Christians also refer to God as Allah. And Muhammad is his prophet. They have a strong emphasis on charity. In fact, people are supposed to give 2.5% of their income for charity. That's above and beyond what you give to the church. That's to help people in need. I think you all are aware of Islam, how they pray at least 5 times a day towards Mecca. They celebrate Ramadan, which is a month where they fast from sunrise to sunset. And once in their lifetime, they're if at all possible, they're supposed to go to Mecca. But they're a very spiritual religion, and that all came from Ishmael, that part of the world where Ishmael's heritage came down, those descendants. As I was saying to the children, sometimes when we don't know something, if we don't know somebody, if we don't know about it, it's scary. But God has called us to help build God's kingdom here on earth. We look at God as love, and if God is love, then God wants us all to get along. He doesn't want war. He doesn't want hatred. And so I think I was really glad when this subject came up, because I think one of the reasons so many of us have been afraid of Islam and other religions also is because we don't understand them. And I think it's important as part of our faith to understand other faiths. I think it makes us stronger as Christians if we understand other people. And so when they asked for what is the lineage of Ishmael and what about the promise to Hagar, it's like, yeah, that's a good chance. We had a Sunday school class here where we looked at Islam. We looked at, had a video series on that. But, you know, that was a small group that was here. So I think I encourage all of you, if you get a chance, to find out more about Islam. Understand that there are radicals in all faiths, including in Christianity. Last week at the PW Women's Gathering, the Presbyterian Women's Gathering in Louisville, they had been given notice that a group called the Westboro Baptist Church was going to picket the PW Gathering, because the women at that gathering cut their hair and they had the nerve to speak out because women aren't supposed to speak in church. That's a radical group within the Christian faith. They're also the ones that have picketed funerals of soldiers because they don't agree with some of the stuff the military is doing. They're part of that group also that has shot abortion doctors because they don't approve of abortion. That's radical, and every faith has them. But if we look at the real understanding of the faith, what the faith believes, Islam has a very strong faith with us. The Quran actually, the Muslims accept our sacred writings. They accept the Torah, the Psalms, and the Gospels. They don't really accept a lot of the rest of our Bible, but they believe in what it says, and they have that same understanding of God as love. If you've ever met any Muslim people, it's a great time for you to understand that we're all alike. We may not all believe exactly the same thing, but we all have a great love of God and a desire to make this world a better place. And I think that's what's important as we try to understand Ishmael and Hagar. It would have been very easy for Hagar to hate, and Ishmael too. You know, if your father just says, too bad, you can go, you got to go, you can go out to the desert and die. But instead they went and made a prosperous life for themselves. And as their descendants grew, they created a people that Muhammad was able to develop a faith around that was centered on love. A love of each other, a love of those in need, and sharing with others. Like I said, charity is a big part of the Islam faith. And that's what's important with all of us as we get to know others, as we get to know our neighbors here within this church. What are their needs? Where can we show love to them? We may look at somebody and say, they're a little different than us. I don't know if I want to talk to them. I don't know if I want to reach out to them. But when we go out of these doors, we're going to run into a lot of people that may look different, that may look scary. But as we get to talk to them, as we get to know them, we discover they're not so different than us. That's this message behind the story of Ishmael and Hagar, of how those descendants came down to Muhammad, how people in that faith love God, love each other, and how we as Christians are called to go out into the world and look for people. You know, sometimes in both Christianity and Islam, and in Judaism not so much, it's like that emphasis of your only purpose in life is to convert them to who you are. But sometimes we just have to look at people for who they are and accept them for who they are. It doesn't mean that we have to give up our faith. But we can love people for who they are without constantly saying that if you won't believe what I believe, I can't love you. I can't care about you. Because that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, go out into the world and love. That he came for the whole world to spread love. Jesus told us what God's kingdom is supposed to be, a kingdom where there is no need, where there is no hate. And so take this message this week of Ishmael's heritage and how they came a people of love, and our heritage and of how we became a people of love, and use that to spread love in a world, to make a difference, to show the world that God is love, whether you call God God or Allah or any one of the many names that are used around the world for God, to understand that God is love. And that's who we are called to be, is a people of love. Amen. I hope as you sang those last two songs we sang that you really paid attention to the words. When I was at USF, where I got my bachelor's degree in religious studies, I intentionally tried to take a lot of the classes that were not about Christian religions because I wanted to have a better understanding. And one of the classes I took was conflict based on religion, looking at the wars and conflicts around the world that were based on religion. And there have been a lot. And as Christians, we've been a big part of some of those. But as we get to understand each other better, that can change. Bill and I have had the opportunity two times now to go up to the mosque in Dunedin. We didn't attend services, but we had the opportunity to hear the imam speak and to meet some of the people there and find out who they really were, what they believe. One of the issues that many of us have with Muslims is they do have a much different understanding of women's place. And that was a question that came up to the imam, because they opened the floor up to questions. And he said, it isn't that we believe women are any lesser than men. It's that we revere our women. We want to protect them. And that's one of the reasons many of the women wear the hijab that are covered up and wear more full clothing than many of the non-Muslim women wear. And as we understood that, we still didn't agree with a lot of the ways that their women live, but that's okay, because they're not us. Their women understand it, and that's part of who they are. So it gave a different understanding for me. And I hope all of you will have the opportunity to reach out to people of other faiths, of other races, and to get them know to get to know each other better, because it can make such a difference in the world. We can begin to make this a world of peace, not hate. We can begin to reduce warfare and spread love. As you go out of these walls today, look for somebody that's maybe a little different than you and take the opportunity to get to know them. Because that's who we're called to be. Go now in peace.